Welcome to the Search Storage UK FAQ podcast on storage and compliance. I'm Anthony Adshead, Bureau Chief with Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is John Collins, Service Director with Analyst Group Freeform Dynamics. John has an end user background and has worked as an IT consultant, network manager and software engineer. Since 1999, John has worked as an industry analyst for companies including IDC, Bloor Research, Quocirca and Mace Hight Award Dutton. He's a widely published author and has acted as an advisor to a number of industry-leading vendors. The first question is, what type of data should I retain and for how long?
Well, this is a very, very good question, not least because there's so many different laws and regulations and so on out there. And it would be very easy for me to answer, well, it depends. But there's a grain of truth to the it depends answer, because we do know that there are many different kinds of requirements on why information should be retained. So, for example, we've looked into this, and you know, there's different regulations or criteria by vertical industry. So finance has different requirements to healthcare, but equally there can be differences on a local or national basis, or indeed obviously on an international basis. And finally, of course, companies need to take into account whether or not where they're working is actually going to cause them to be subject to the regulations of the places that their information is ending up. Two examples could be that an organisation is delivering services in another country, so it might be subject to the other country's regulations in terms of retention. But equally, a company could be using services from a company in another country, and it could be transferring information to that other country to do so. So, and we've seen that, for example, in work we've done around software development, where you could have an organisation that's taking a snapshot of its database to be used as test data, but then it's outsourcing the application development to an offshore organisation. So that test data is actually potentially real customer data, so it's subject to the protections at both ends. To summarise all of that, these are really business issues, they're not IT issues. It's important, therefore, that that IT doesn't go it alone. It's important that IT asks the business, and indeed that you ask your own lawyers within your organisation what information needs to be retained and what mechanisms are actually legally required to retain that information. And there's all kinds of conflicting kinds of requirements. For example, personnel records need to be retained up to when a person is 75 years old. But equally, we do know that things like the PCI regulations in financial services are stipulating that information is retained no longer than absolutely necessary for information relating to payment cards. It's pretty straightforward to recognise that there's going to be potential conflicts that can arise between one set of regulations that need information to be retained a long time and other regulations that need it to be retained for no longer than absolutely necessary.
What type of storage media should I use, and can I adopt a tiered approach?
From our research, we do understand that organisations are enhancing storage capabilities across the board. But interestingly, they do not tend to see the tiering itself as a compliance mechanism. Rather, it's archiving from any which storage tier. That's what's seen as the valid approach that gives the compliance, not the tiering per se. Though, of course, one can archive from one storage tier onto another. In terms of the exact media that's used for archiving, depends on the retention requirements. We can look to how many years are required to be stored and the anti-tampering requirements on the media itself, and criteria such as discovery and the speed of finding information once we've stored it, and take things from there. Ultimately, it can boil down to striking the balance between the cost of the media on one hand and the need to speed up the access to data on the other. For example, to respond to discovery requests, it might be worth just saying a quick word about discovery. This is a term that's front of mind for many US organisations, for whom litigation is a frequent concern. What we actually mean by discovery is producing a discovery report in response to a legal request, so it's very legally oriented. Elsewhere, for example in the UK and Europe, the problem of discovery doesn't go away, but just as common, is the need to find and report on information for internal purposes, for example, requests from human resources or from other parts of the business. It's interesting to reflect on how difficult some of these processes can sometimes be. From our research, we know that over 50% of those having experience of legal discovery, for example, reported that it was a bad experience, which probably goes some way towards helping us understand just how difficult it can be to collate all the different types of information required. For internal actions, the figure was 30%, which is a bit healthier, but it's still not going to be a very pleasant experience for many. In terms of the actual media concerned, for situations that demand speed over cost, virtual tape libraries, so that's VTL, may well be seen as the more appropriate mechanism. By cost, this often equates to the time taken by lawyers and other interested parties to just find the necessary information. Lawyers in particular, and people in general, are never cheap. We also know that some types of record, for example patient records, can often need to be seen as quickly accessible at all times, which again precludes offline storage. For example, it may be that in the case of drugs trials, information about specific patients and specific side effects needs to be retrieved very, very quickly if a certain side effect is discovered. Meanwhile, where offline access is acceptable, tape can be seen as the most cost-effective medium. And in some cases, a good halfway house can be reached using optical disc. Different regulations may specify certain media over others. For example, the write once, read many, that is WORM, nature of optical disc makes it appropriate when records are not to be tampered with, for example, financial records.
How can I prove my data has not been tampered with?
We've already mentioned WORM as a mechanism, and that's generally applicable to optical drives, although it can be used on other technologies such as VTL. The latest optical technology, however, is UDO, which can currently support up to 30 gigabytes and likely to extend to 120 gigabytes in the future. UDO is reputed to last over 50 years, though exactly how they can find this out, given that it's only been around for 2 years, is certainly beyond me. While there are technologies designed to prevent against tampering, it's not always possible to prevent against destruction of information. Business continuity technologies such as replication and failover can help here, but clearly they need to be taken into account as part of the compliance architecture.
Do I need to make big investments in storage to be compliant?
While there is a place for compliance technologies by themselves, compliance should of course be a factor in the storage business case. We can consider this in terms of the two kinds of technology that exist in storage. First, the storage infrastructure, and second, the higher level information management aspects of storage. From the infrastructure perspective, the questions we would ask are more around whether the platform itself can be compromised, who has access to what, and so on. So, for example, can the administrator of the storage platform access information that's available on the storage platform, and does that person have access rights to do so? As well as ensuring business continuity through, for example, replication of the platform, as we've already discussed. Meanwhile, at the higher level, information management solutions are more around how to get to the data, how to find the information that is needed for the job, or indeed, to respond to discovery requests. We've already talked to some extent about the kinds of technologies available for managing data in a compliant way. There are overlapping but separate technologies that can support efficient discovery. There's no one real class of technologies that we could call compliance technologies, and as a result, these are available from a wide variety of vendors across the information management spectrum. So, for example, we have business intelligence companies such as Autonomy, who over the past year acquired Xantaz, the archiving company, and they see both very much as part of the mechanisms required for information to be intelligently stored, archived, and then searched as part of compliance or as part of general business activity. There is a big however to all of this. The higher up the technology stack you go, the more it's necessary to involve the business in the decision-making process. We've seen this in the data classification requirements required to help ILM work, for example, as ILM works best when information is classed according to business value. Of course, it makes sense that the business should be involved in deciding what's valuable and what isn't. Equally, however, such a dialogue can be used as the basis for understanding what regulations need to be kept to in terms of data retention and what impact these might have on certain types of data. As we've already discussed, these are very much business decisions and not IT decisions, and the IT department exists only really to support the business meet its own compliance and other data retention requirements. This really does bring us back full circle to where we started, in that retention is a business requirement, not an IT requirement. As a result, it does need a high level of business involvement to get it right. We know as a result that it's organisations who have that level of dialogue between IT and the business in terms of how they're managing their data and how they're retaining their data that do seem to do a better job when it comes to meeting compliance regulations and applying policies that fit not only their legal requirements but also their requirements as a business.